Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor here. Welcome you out for another great episode. As a reminder, check out our website, MoneyRipples.com. If you definitely want to find great ways to free up some good cash flow, there's a great ebook on there called Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today that you can check out. Also, thank you so much for following our show, sharing this. I love that the word's expanding and that you guys have really been able to create a ripple effect with this show. And so I appreciate that. You're creating a ripple effect in your own lives by acting on it, but you're also sharing it. So thank you so much for being here, showing up and sharing, because this show is about you, helping you guys create financial freedom today, be able to create cash flow and prosperity right now, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, to be able to work because you want to, not because you have to. And so I'm excited for today's show because there's a huge element of success within this one. So today on that subject, you know, I was flying back from Hawaii. We were on the airplane, and you know, when you're coming back from Hawaii, you got tons of time. And so they got the in-flight movies and things like that. And I was just going through and, you know, I'd watched some of the movies. I got kind of bored. I'm like, okay, what's next? And then I saw one. I was like, well, this one, I almost missed it because it was so hard to see. It was really kind of a bad visual effect. And it was called In Search of Greatness. So I thought, oh, look on the details. It was kind of a sports documentary and that kind of thing. I thought, you know, that looks kind of cool. Let's just check it out. So I started to watch it, and I'll tell you, between watching that movie and then watching, you know, finishing that one, and then watching part of the movie Joy, if you've ever seen that, that's a great true story or a movie based on a true story about the woman that created the little mop, you know, type thing. It was on QVC and that sort of deal. And so between those two, it really got my creative juices going, and I actually started taking notes on it while I was on the plane. And I wanted to bring that up because I saw such a great correlation between the things that we teach here. And granted, I teach a lot of different strategies. I mean, you guys, if you've listened to these episodes, you know there's a lot of strategies we've taught, more so than probably most shows that you see. But there's such a big element of success that's necessary to make those strategies work. And I found it fascinating because they, on this movie, especially this movie In Search of Greatness, right? I mean, they were interviewing guys like Wayne Gretzky, the hockey great, you know. They're interviewing him. They're interviewing wide receiver from the NFL, Jerry Rice. And they were looking at people like Serena Williams and Michael Jordan and people that were just in all types of sports, particularly looking at what made them great. Like, what was it? And especially when they started interviewing these players, they wanted to kind of get to know what was going on. Like, what did they do or what did they not do? And what was going through their heads and things like that. And I'll tell you, the things that they taught were just amazing. If you can find the documentary In Search of Greatness, I recommend it. But I want to talk about this because I want to help you guys be able to find your greatness. Because if you understand where you're incredible, where you understand your gifts and your talents and how to apply them, there's a limitless potential for wealth creation from doing that. And this applies to you whether you're in business. This applies to you even if you're just trying to invest. Everybody has their own unique formula, the new, unique way of doing this. And no one person is the same. And this is one of the hardest things I do when I work with clients, because we try to create a game plan. Now, I'll tell you, the thing that they probably admit would be the hardest part of our working together, beyond just sometimes have to stretch their vision and see from a very different perspective to be able to see new solutions. But also I'd say it's for them to understand, like, you know, if they look for investments or whatever, like what is that the right investments for them, you know? So we have to investigate sometimes for a couple months, different opportunities before we finally say, all right, these are the ones we've narrowed it down to. These are the ones that light you up, right? And then we go from there. And so this applies to any of you, really. Any of you that are looking for freedom, this is hugely tremendous. So here's a few key things. So, you know, one thing they mentioned is that, and today in sports, there's training camps, you know, sports camps and things like that. And they're actually finding that these sports camps and training camps are actually kind of ineffective. They're not nearly as powerful in finding these great players. In fact, the thing they noticed is that those that were greats, like the Wayne Gretzky's and the Michael Jordans, or, you know, even like Serena Williams, you know, a tennis player, right? Serena was actually much more physically inferior to Venus in so many ways. And it was interesting. They showed a clip of their dad back in the day. I think it was when Venus was, I think she was 13 and Serena was 12. And Venus was like twice her size at that time too, even though she's only a year older. And everybody was focused on Venus. But they interviewed their dad and they said, well, who do you think is going to be the better player? And their dad predicted Serena. And their own dad, obviously, who happened to pick between his daughters. But he's like, you know, I think Serena is going to become the better player. Flash forward, you know, several years, and Serena ends up beating her sister Venus in I believe it was the U.S. Open. And what's incredible is that, you know, a lot of these people, when they looked at players that are these great players, even Pele, they interviewed Pele too. They looked at them. They actually didn't seem that extraordinary. They seemed pretty ordinary, in fact. But there were things that were different about them. And they started realizing that these training camps for kids really weren't actually helping them create any greatness. I mean, yeah, they're getting these skilled athletes. There's better athletes, but they weren't better players. They weren't great players. They were just becoming better, but they didn't find this greatness that was within them. There was something much, much deeper. And what they found out is that a lot of times these great players like Wayne Gretzky and so forth were usually unorthodox, their style of play. Pele is a great example. If you've ever watched anything on Pele or learned about him, he had a style that was kind of trying to bring back a renaissance of sorts of the old Brazilian style that was considered to be unpopular and cost Brazil their championship in the World Cup. But he brought it back, and that whole, you know, street style of play was great. And they noticed this with basketball players, football players, and everybody. People that just went out and played, that were created more. They had to go out and create. They weren't just put in structured, regimented plays, because that's what they're realizing, that these players in training camps don't know how to create. They don't know how to improvise. And the ones that played on the streets, the ones that just usually did like what I did growing up, we just played out in the fields, and you're playing from like morning till night and just having fun and that sort of thing. That was the kind of stuff that these great players did. And so they weren't usually orthodox in their methods. They questioned all the norms. They'd say, well, okay, I got these basic skills, but why are we doing this drill? Is this really that important? Why are we doing this? Couldn't we do it better this way? You know, they always questioned the norms, and they had no rational reason for success. They seemed like, from a physical perspective, they weren't anything special. Right. And so that was one thing that was interesting. You know, another thing that was interesting too is they asked Wayne Gretzky. You know, Wayne Gretzky would say, you know, they have parents come up to him and say, hey, tell my kids how many hours a day you practiced. Because of course the big problem is that parents are wanting their kids to become more successful than they were. And so they're trying to create these kids, you know, to become great, right? And he's like, yeah, tell them how much you practiced. And Wayne Gretzky would say, I didn't practice. I just went out and played. He's like, and the thing is, like, I loved it. I thought it was so much fun that I just went out and played. So he really didn't say, he's like, I wasn't going out and doing drills and practice necessarily. He's like, I did some of that, but no, I was just going out to play and have fun. You would go out in the ice, you know, out on the frozen lake and go play with each other and do stuff like that. That's what they would do. You know, another thing I thought was interesting too is that, like, they interviewed Jerry Rice, the wide receiver, and he'd talk about how he'd see it in his mind. And even as a kid, he would, you know, they turn out the lights at night when he's going to bed, and he tossed the football up in the air, and he would just feel the football. He would just feel it. And then he would dream about football. And so a lot of times they wouldn't just see, you know, see, they would see the success in their mind. They would see the game. They would already win the game before they played the game, because they saw it in their mind. They already knew how it was going to play out and how the patterns are going to run. And sometimes they even had this foresight or this intuitive sight. You know, the thing that Wayne Gretzky was popular for is that he was always popular for skating to where the puck is going, not to where, you know, not towards just scoring goals. He was always just trying to skate to where the puck was going to go. He almost had this foresight, this intuition. I'll tell you, it's kind of fascinating at the end of the interview. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but when the interviewer would ask questions, he would start to ask a question, not even finish it, and Wayne would answer it. And then he would start another question. Then Wayne would answer it mid-question. And he would just keep answering the very things that were coming out. And it was almost as if he was skating to where the puck went when it came to the interviewer's questions. And I know they kind of left it because it was, you know, a good quote at the end or whatever. But I thought it was really interesting that, you know, someone who had foresight to know like where the puck was going, and that's, he just knew how to be the right place at the right time. It was fascinating to see that he kind of did that in other areas too, like with the interviewer's questions. And it kind of makes you wonder, okay, how does that gift apply elsewhere? But a lot of them had some sort of intuitive sight. Like they knew where they were going. They showed clips of Muhammad Ali and how a lot of times he just almost knew instinctively where the punches were going to come. And so he would just dodge the punches and, you know, he'd keep his guard down. He'd just like dodge and dodge and dodge and dodge, and no punch would land on him. And he just seemed so fast. He seemed so fast that he seemed to react before the punches even came, right? You know, that kind of thing. You know, so they had this kind of intuitive sight. And then one thing for sure that like both Jerry Rice and even Wayne Gretzky said, is said that a lot of their success came because of luck or good timing. Not just because they were good players, but they're like, you know, yeah, we were great at what we did, but there's some luck to it. There's some good, you know, we happen to be at the right place at the right time. We happen to be in the game at the right time for us to show up. And they also gave credit to great coaches. You know, there was even one quote from the interviewer that Jerry Rice admitted to. They kind of said, hey, if there was no Bill Walsh, there'd be no Jerry Rice. Bill Walsh being the 49ers coach back then with him and Joe Montana. And he said, hey, if there's no Bill Walsh, there'd be no Jerry Rice. And Jerry's like, that's right. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I came in the NFL. They took me in the first round of the draft. But, they took me very specifically because Bill Walsh saw something in me that others didn't. And he saw greatness that way. But he's like, when I came in the NFL, I wasn't doing well. He's like, I was actually dropping a lot of passes and I was messing up a lot. Yeah, but Bill, you know, he had this ability to just, you know, be able to, be encouraging and be a cheerleader, but also, you know, not pull any punches either. And so he kind of got on his face and really guided him and led him to that. And so Jerry admitted, it's like, if it weren't for Bill Walsh, it could have been any other coach. If it wasn't the right coach, he may never have risen to the stardom that he did. Wayne Gretzky said the same thing. Wayne Gretzky said that actually his coach kind of reminded him of his own father and really helped hone and develop his skills, especially because he was so unorthodox. He wasn't doing the very typical method that everybody was moving towards in hockey, more of the Russian, you know, European style of play. He wasn't like that. You know, they had to build that around him and actually give them some amount of freedom to allow it to work. And so all these things, this is absolutely fascinating. Again, I invite you guys to watch that documentary. But I'll tell you, when it applies to you and how this all develops, there's those key things. I mean, one is find a passion. Find what lights you up. I mean, one of the biggest things I keep reminding my clients over and over is, hey, there's millions of ways to make millions of dollars, right? There's so many ways you can go and invest and do things. But if you don't want to feel like you're still working paycheck to paycheck, even if you're quote unquote out of the rat race, the one thing you want to make sure you're doing is finding investments that light you up, that you think is fun, that doesn't feel like work. That's one of the key things for certain. This is why I do what I do. I love what I do. And I know any of you guys that have listened long enough or any of you that have worked with me, you know that. Like I love teaching. I love being able to turn light bulbs on, so to speak, right? I love being able to open up a whole new world. You know, like I just had a client this week where, you know, she mentioned, she's like, holy cow. And she, by the way, she was very much trained in the financial world, does a great job helping people with budgeting and things like that. But she's like, you know, I feel like there's something missing. And so I said, yeah, it's going to require a new perspective. And as she started to adapt this new perspective, and this has only been over the course of the last month, all of a sudden she's like, there's now options. Like now I can see it. Now I can see more clearly like a picture of what's possible. And it was there the whole time. But I just had to, you know, shed a light on it, right? You know, that kind of thing. You know, and that's the kind of thing that just lights me up. That's why I love it. That's why I don't, you know, fully retire. Even though I could, I don't fully retire because of that reason, is that it's so much fun. I mean, even the life insurance strategies that I teach with the whole infinite banking type concept, right? And that kind of thing. I mean, I have a lot of fun with that. I mean, I give a lot of credit to one of our former guests, Buck Joffrey, who encouraged me for months to start teaching his people about how to do that kind of thing. And And finally I said, all right, fine, I'll do it. You know, just don't let it take more than like 5 hours a week out of my time. But I'll tell you, like, I have a lot of fun designing that stuff. I have a lot of fun doing it better than everybody else. You know, I'm not claiming that I am the best, you know, I never will claim that. But I'll tell you, like, I love creating plans that people can't beat, you know, that other agents won't beat. They refuse to beat because they don't think they can cut their commissions, you know, back far enough to do that. But even then, like, just even designing it and creating it in a way that makes it, you know, people double dip on their returns. Like, I have fun with that kind of stuff. I mean, between the fact of teaching, kind of guiding and, you know, helping open up and expand people's visions to have that game plan open up, I have lots of fun. And that's the kind of thing that I'll tell you, like, even just teaching these kind of principles, that's the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. Like, I can't tell you how many times that, you know, sometimes I'll be hanging out with friends and talking on subjects like this. And next thing you know, it's like, holy cow, it's 11 o'clock or midnight. We got to go to bed. You know, I don't do that as much anymore because I'm getting older, but I like to have an earlier bedtime now. But that's the kind of thing that you lose track of time because you think it's so much fun. You might find yourself on the computer researching it and enjoying it. This could be your business. This could be investments. It could be all kinds of things. But it's not a chore for you. You actually think this is actually really fun. You know, it's the kind of thing you want to do in your free time. It's the thing where you wait for your family to go to bed so you can work on it or think about it, you know, even if it's in your mind. You know, that's the kind of stuff, that's how you know you're on the right track. Now, I've heard this many times, and you're probably saying this too, is, I don't even know what that is, Chris. Like, really, I don't. You know what? It doesn't have to be like this passionate, I'll tell you, like, it doesn't have to be that big of a drive for you where, like, you can't sleep at night. I'm not saying it's something like that. But you might just start to say, hey, well, what could be fun? Like, what's really intriguing? You know, I've had several of you come back and say, man, that whole, you know, strategy you taught on that one podcast about, you know, the short-term rentals and Airbnb and creating cash flow from that, that looked so cool. It's like, yeah, it is. If that's something that kind of lights you up, then do it. If it's something that's already been on your mind before and that was just gave you the opportunity, great. The link's in the show notes. You can go find more information on how to do that, right? That kind of thing. So anyways, I mean, that's the kind of thing that you want to do is find something that really lights you up. You know, also, feel free to play and take some risks. You know, be willing to mess up and learn from your mistakes. You know, those kind of things. That's what they said. Like, the biggest thing was, you know, just being free to kind of express yourself however you want, or be free to just play with it. And that's the fun of it. You know, also be motivated by those that might underestimate you. That was one thing they said, is that all the time they would have people that underestimated them said, oh, they're not any good, even when they were really good, you know, and that would drive them. Michael Jordan was driven by haters like crazy, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, find, you know, be motivated. Don't be discouraged by people that may not think you do anything great. Be motivated by it. Say, you know what? That's awesome. Like, I get motivated when people have done that to me. Like, I can't tell you how many times I had, you know, friends or family members say, you should go back to college. You should get your degree. Why don't you do this? Because I don't want to. I don't have a passion for it. You know, I'm doing that passion, and you follow it long enough, even if it doesn't look like on the surface it's working, after a while it does. It always does. There's always a level of disappointment before the reward, and then the reward can be exponentially greater than you imagined. And then believe you can create something great. Believe in that the greatness is within you, and be willing to own it and use it. And whatever that looks like for you guys, you know, it doesn't have to look and feel a certain way. But if you start, you know, whether it's, again, like a business or investing or whatever it might be, you know, just start going towards a direction of something that lights you up. That if I can leave you with anything, is find that thing. And it could be one thing, it could be two things, but find that. And especially if we're talking about active income, like we talked about just recently, right, about active versus passive income, and there's more money to be made on the active side. Definitely, if you're going to be doing something that's active, you better make sure there's a passion behind it, because that's the one thing that will drive you and keep you perfecting it. And the next thing you know, you'll say, man, Chris, you know, these passive investments making 10, 12% a year, psh, nothing. You know, I know for many people are like, that'd be awesome. You know, I had somebody just yesterday, he's like, are you kidding me? That's real? I'm like, yes. In fact, that's on, for me, on the low end of the spectrum of investing. But for some people, it's on the high end. I get it. But that active investing can happen when you really start to understand where your gifts are, what really drives you and lights you up, and you utilize that. And so whatever it is, like, you'll start to see it. You'll start to see it develop. You'll start to find that you have this unique way of going about doing things. And I know many of you, many of my clients, I admire sometimes the things they do. I've had clients come back with spreadsheets. I'm like, man, I wish I could create a spreadsheet like that. I have to usually hire people to create spreadsheets like you're making right now. And they'll analyze and they'll do all kinds of stuff and they'll create their own game plan, you know, based on the stuff that we worked on, but then they go beyond it. I love it when my clients actually go beyond my game plan. They actually find something better. They create something better because we don't just go with the thing that's, you know, more passive. They start to find active ways to do it. So anyways, guys, I don't want to ramble on, but find your greatness. Start to find out where you really are great. And you can find this by looking at other areas of your life. You know, I found this when I looked at my ballroom dancing days. I realized that teaching was enabled me to get better at it. I realized that I got better at ballroom dancing quickly because I just had fun and I was willing to screw up and make it work. And as a result, I got better and better than people had been dancing for years. The one thing I noticed is that like I was very persistent. I just would keep doing it over and over again. But if I didn't have that passion, that drive, I would have never kept dancing. You know, if it weren't for the fact that I wasn't the greatest dancer, I didn't have the greatest athletic ability or anything else. But for me, it was purely because I was willing to teach what I learned, which would help me furthering, you know, instill it into my being, I guess you could say. But I remember there's many times I would dream about it. I would actually have dreams about dance routines and wake up the next morning and I could dance it better than I did the day before. Because even though I was having a hard time memorizing it, still my mind was always working on it. The subconscious mind keeps working on things to make yourself better, especially those things you seemingly obsess over. And I had that happen. By the way, after I watched the documentary as well as the movie Joy, I actually ended up having dreams about my own greatness within this realm, within the money realm. And it was kind of shocking. I woke up the next morning and told my wife, I said, wow, like I just realized that I've got something special. Like what I do as an anti-financial advisor is pretty crazy. Like that is something special in and of itself because I'm teaching something that other financial advisor type guys won't do. And there's other guys that teach some of the things I teach, but they don't quite come from that level and they don't really get you to the point of getting where the rubber hits the road, right? They're usually teaching you kind of theoretically, like here's what you can do, but they don't actually help you actually accomplish it and do it. I've even worked with guys like that where I thought at first, like, you know, I was inferior, but in truth, I realized that some of them were actually threatened by me because of those gifts. They had their own gifts. They should have been threatened, but it was kind of cool to see that. I was like, wow, I see that now. Like I really have something unique because financial advisors haven't figured it out and they're never going to figure it out doing the same things they're going to do. It's something that's got to be completely different. And I'll tell you, even when talking to my wife, I even brought up things with her because we're talking about a business owner I had recently had a conversation with. And even before we're told about the whole situation, right? Just sharing for maybe a minute or so of our conversation, she said, oh no, you know, marketing's not his issue. His issue is actually a belief in himself, his own, you know, and what he's dealing with. And he has a hard time connecting with people and that's why they keep rejecting him. And I had even told her that he'd actually gone to different people to pitch things and came back rejected. I was wondering why. She's like, oh yeah, he tends to dream a lot and this and this and this. And so this is why it doesn't happen. And I started laughing. I was like, you realize that, babe, this is your greatness. Like you can read people sometimes without even knowing them, meeting them, even before you know much about their situation, you can already predict it. She's like, yeah, it's kind of a curse. She's like, 'cause then I have to actually listen to them and she's had that issue many times come up where people are like, you don't know me. Okay. You're kind of a psycho mind reader or whatever. It's like, yeah, that's your gift. And so guys, I suggest the same thing is find your gifts, find the things that light you up. When you put those things together, just like I talked about with monetize your divine genius. Oh my goodness. It's incredible. So guys, I hope you find that thing that you want to dream about and that you love, that drives you, that makes your life rich. You're not just rich with money, but you're wealthy because you're doing what you love. You're doing what you want, when you want, with whom you want. Guys, I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous week, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on the Chris Miles Money Show.